As the year 1927 was fading, editors at Time magazine found themselves stumped. A newsless holiday week had left them with no one to feature on the cover of that year's final issue. Now, 1927 was the year of the first talking moving picture, Eisenberg's uncertainty theory, and, of course, the first transatlantic flight. So it was Charles Lindbergh's solo vault across the Atlantic that gave the editors of Time an idea. They hadn't put Mr. Lindbergh on their cover after he landed in Paris, but he'd become the most popular man in America. So the editors put Charles Lindbergh on the cover of that last issue, captioned The Man of the Year. See how deadlines can sometimes spur good lines. Three quarters of a century later, Time's Person of the Year is an American institution, featured now in an exhibit at the Smithsonian Institution and traveling across the country over coming weeks. We walk through that exhibit with Hugh Seide, a 47-year veteran of the magazine, who said that while choosing the Person of the Year was always important to publisher Henry Luce, it wasn't always so for the people who worked at Time.
In the early years, I guess every journalist that got into it thought it was kind of a joke. You know, you kind of hated to see the year end come because you had to kind of weigh in and who would be the man of the year, and things were so complex in the world we thought, this can't be. But I changed my mind as I worked on them, and it became kind of a national hobby to try to guess who it would be. It also, I decided, focused a lot of our thoughts at the end of the year, who had really been instrumental in changing history.
Remind us again, when you choose Person of the Year, it's not supposed to be just the nicest person or the person who's accomplished the most good for the world, is it?
Well, I used to talk to Henry Luce a good deal, and his idea was that he wanted it to be a positive selection for the person who'd helped humanity.
Really?
Yes. Now, that didn't work. I think the media had a lot to do with it. As we got bigger, as people knew more about the world and that, then you had to deal with the shadowy characters, the evil people.
Mr. Seide, were there actual Person of the Year, Man of the Year meetings?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. In the early years, Time didn't have a news service to speak of, so yeah. They didn't poll them. Later on, as we expanded around the world, then they would take in all of the suggestions from all over. Literally dozens of suggestions from the correspondents and others. And then, of course, finally, when it got down to the real selection, the managing editor decided. Now, I think one of the hardest ones they had was this one that you see just over my shoulder, the Einstein selection, because the
Person of the Century.
Person of the Century, because the lobbying came in very strong for FDR, for instance. I think he was almost runner-up.
What is lobbying like in this process?
Oh, it's in cocktails, it's on email, it's at dinner, it's appointments. A case in FDR, I know one of the great FDR fanatics got an appointment with the managing editor, Walter Isaacson, just to make his pitch. And letters to the editor. It's every way. It's the full press.
Going through the list, there are just some interesting anomalies you notice.
Yeah, there were some strange things. For instance, I think one of the mistakes we made was not to have Jerry Ford, because I think the stability that he brought to the nation in the aftermath of Watergate, I don't think was remarkable.
1974 was King Faisal of Saudi Arabia.
Well, I disagree with that. See, that's where my ballot got vetoed by somebody, because I would have had Jerry Ford. When where's Kennedy's? That would be 60. It's right around here.
Ah.
See that one?
Yeah, that's 1961, John F. Kennedy.
61, yeah.
Okay. Right.
The irony of all of this is that
Mr. Seide, I got to tell you, he was a magnetically handsome man, and that's not the most flattering portrait I've ever seen of John F. Kennedy.
I want to tell you that the pictures themselves are hugely important in this and have repercussions you can't imagine. We had hired the artist Pietri Anagoni, and I was the guy responsible to get him into the White House and get him going. He was there, I think, a couple of weeks. I had been out with my wife, and when I got home, the babysitter was in tears because John Kennedy had been calling all night And I called him back, and it was obviously a party. There was music and laughter in the background in some of this Palm Beach. And he said, comes out, and he said, "Sidey, you've done it again. I hear that cover on the Man of the Year is the worst thing that has ever been done." And
it looks as if John F. Kennedy had been cast to play the lead in Phantom of the Opera.
Well, there is just something. Number one, his tie is askew, and he was always kind of meticulous about that. And then he did have a wandering eye. But this portrait...
You're not speaking metaphorically. You're speaking
physically.
Actually,
physically. Yeah, it kind of went off there. And the colors aren't very vivid. It's not a good selection, in my judgment. But the last time I saw him on that particular incident, he had the magazine in front of him, and he was saying, "Look at that. My eye wanders up there, and he got that all, and the jaws are wrong." He had it all worked out. And then he went through the story saying, "You had this wrong, you had that wrong." And finally, he threw the magazine on the desk, and he looked up at me, and he grinned, and he said, "Besides that, it was a pretty good story." And that's the only compliment I ever got from him about anything.
Let me ask you about some of those years where a theme is selected. And just to be contrary, I'm going to wonder if, with you openly, if sometimes you have settled on a theme because that's easier than picking an actual person. 1982 was the personal computer.
Yeah.
Not Steve Jobs, or for that matter Bill Gates, but the personal computer. 1969 was the middle American, whoever he or she and their 2.5 children are.
Well, I think that may be, but I think probably a greater stimulus was just to change the pace of it. We had so much competition when television got into the world. You look back when I began with this company, we were the only worldwide press every week that came out of there, besides AP and UPI. So we just, quite honestly, felt this power that we kind of shaped the world and we interpreted the world and that sort of thing. And so when one of these things came along later on, when other people got into the business, writing about people, biography, all those things happened. I think probably we said, well, let's startle people. Let's bring in the computer. Let's bring in the middle American or the Vietnam warrior or whatever and do a composite. Yeah. I'd be honest with you. I don't like those as well as the personalities. I just think that people themselves, if the stories are done correctly, are far more interesting. They're just wonderful stories.
Thank you, Mr.
Yeah, you bet. You bet.
Usadi's worked at Time magazine for the past 47 years. He walked with us through Time's Person of the Year at 75. That's a traveling exhibition currently at the Smithsonian Institution.